My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. Other people want to make friends. I'm just trying to make you some money. My job is not just to entertain, but to educate and teach you, so call me at 1-800-743-CBC or tweet me at Jim Cramer. Guilt by association. Guilty until proven innocent. Now, I'm not talking about the parole board that just approved the release of O.J. Simpson. I'm talking about today's stock market, where we saw a host of stocks just get hammered as sellers decided, what the heck, I'm not sticking around for any conviction. I'm out of here!
Sell, 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 sell.
Yet, as is so often with this market, you can't really see the losses on the surface because the money simply rotates from one place to another. It doesn't leave the house. With the Dow ultimately dipping just 29 points, S&P declining 0.02%, NASDAQ actually climbing 0.08%. Let's start with the shocking declines in the stocks of Home Depot and Lowe's, which shed 4% and 5.56% respectively in this one session. These are two incredibly well-run chains. The last quarter is particularly strong for Home Depot, where it delivered the requisite monster upside surprise and gave you fantastic guidance, along with a $3.75 billion buyback. Weirdly, the stock just kind of sat there initially, and then it has since meandered downward over time, despite those excellent numbers. Maybe the best of the major retailers, which sure looked like a buying opportunity, given that Home Depot does well as long as the price of housing continues to climb, which it has, and there's increasing household formation, which there is. Then out of nowhere, Home Depot and Lowe's were hit by a 1-2 punch that decked their stocks and left people wondering if it's worth even bottom fishing here. The first punch this morning, a slowdown in DIY, do-it-yourself house painting, mentioned by Sherwin-Williams, largest paint company on earth, in his conference call, and kind of accepted as true by PPG, another paint company, in its report, which signaled weakness in performance coatings. Hey, look, paint is important to the big-box home improvement retailers. In the last quarter, paint sales were up at Home Depot, but not as much as other categories. Have things gotten worse? Judging by the words of Sherwin-Williams, absolutely. That could mean that numbers for Home Depot and Lowe's now need to come down, and not just because paint sales are weak. We have to ask. Maybe people started spending less money on fixing up their homes for whatever reason. That alone would bring out sellers. Just the paint story would have caused these stocks to go down. But then there's that second punch. Oh, boy, yeah, that second punch that really sent both these stocks to the canvas. Amazon. Amazon is moving into the appliance business. Yep, Amazon's partnering with Kenmore, the best brand left at Sears, to deliver appliances replete with Alexa voice-activated instructions. This is the stuff of nightmares to a company like Lowe's or Home Depot, as they derive 11% and 8% of their sales from appliances, respectively. And they had been thought to be immune from being Amazoned until this morning. Now, let's understand each other. For all we know, these companies haven't seen anything significantly new happen in paint at all. Maybe other brands are doing better than Sherwin-Williams. And a Sears press release on a Kenmore tie-up with Amazon doesn't necessarily mean anything, let alone booming sales. But you know what? At this particular moment in time, it doesn't matter. Just think back to when Amazon announced it was buying Whole Foods. Right after the news broke, Costco reported fantastic same-store sales numbers, pretty much twice what Wall Street was looking for. What happened that day? Stock opened up. Opened up big, and then ended up being down. Why? Because people figured this is the beginning of the end of paying a lot more for Costco's earnings per share, given that it's now about to get the real competition from Amazon Prime. The price-to-earnings multiple, what investors are willing to pay for the future earnings stream, has been shrinking ever since for Costco, going from 28 down to 24. And the stock's shown no real sign of stabilizing yet. Maybe Costco was overloved going into the news, but it's got to get underloved before that changes. Then there's the terrible tale of Blue Apron. Anyone unlucky enough to invest in that IPO has already experienced a 35% decline, as Amazon intends to compete directly with them. Your worst nightmare. Remember Borders? How about the mall? Look, we've already seen what Amazon can do. They did wreck the book industry. They have decimated brick and mortar. Now we're seeing what they can do to food. Do you really want to just wait around and find out how badly they can hurt the competition in washers and dryers? I prefer not to. Just like with Costco, all of the analysts quickly defended Lowe's and Home Depot intraday, telling us not to worry. Don't you love when people say, I don't worry? I mean, what do you do when you hear don't worry? Yeah, exactly. You worry. However, just like Costco, it doesn't matter. People sold the stock anyway. Again, the issue isn't that Lowe's or Home Depot will actually see their earnings get crushed by Amazon's intrusion. The real problem is the same thing we saw with Costco. When Amazon starts competing with you, investors no longer feel like paying a high-priced earnings multiple for the stock. Look at the stock of Macy's. Look at what Kohl's. These stock trades at incredibly low levels. That's what happens. Even if the earnings barely get dinged, and I think they will barely get dinged, it's going to be very hard for Lowe's to keep selling at 17 times earnings or Home Depot to keep selling at 21 times earnings. Maybe it's going to be 15 and 18, okay, or 15 and 19. With Amazon on the prowl, it's too dangerous to pay up for anything in retail. Now, I'm certainly not immune to this kind of thinking myself. Do you know this morning my charitable trust bolted from a small position in Walgreens, the fabulous drugstore? We sold a bunch of stock much higher in Walgreens when it announced it was buying Rite Aid. Of course, that deal's fizzling. But then we watched it roll down. As people began to fret that Amazon might start hawking prescription drugs, I know I used to buy my vitamins at Walgreens. Now I get them delivered monthly by Amazon. They just come automatically. It's cheaper. It's easier. I wasn't going to wait around to hear that Amazon's going to roll over Walgreens, too. So we told club members of ActionAlertsPlus.com today that we've had enough. Guilt by association can be a powerful concept. And I've been at this business 37 years. I got ice water in my veins. I'm not going to risk the idea that tomorrow we're going to hear that Amazon's decided prescription drugs are the things and they can offer much lower prices. Makes sense. So why doesn't the whole market get slammed on this kind of news? How can it hang in there when big visible companies have their stocks rocked by disruptive competition? Well, you know, that's actually an easier question than you realize if you follow individual stocks. See, the money just goes somewhere more lucrative. Remember a couple days ago I told you that Johnson & Johnson, United Health, reported absolutely stunning, amazing quarters, works of art even, yet they were rewarded with so little love? Well, today was National J&J and UNH Love Day. So now their stocks take off. They have plenty of fellow travelers, including Abbott Labs, the medical device maker, that delivered a superb beat and raise, the first of many big ones, I think, for Miles White, the fabulous CEO, after a series of acquisitions. He had many big ones before that, but these acquisitions are now going to start paying off. In all three cases, it's not too late to do some buying, as these rotations are never one-day affairs. The love extended to the biotechs were two of my favorites. Celgene and Regeneron just keep powering higher. They've done nothing for ages. I think they're still worth buying. What makes me so confident about this rotation, besides the fact that I don't see Amazon developing drugs anytime soon? Simple. Washington's stunning dysfunction plays right into the hands of all of those companies. Perhaps Obamacare really is dying, as Republicans claim, but most people who were selling these stocks for the last year thought that there could be price controls and a huge rollback of insurance, both of which would stunt the growth of big pharma in the healthcare system. Guess what? Washington's ridiculous shenanigans amount to nothing less than a price-to-earnings booster for all of these stocks. Just like Amazon wrecks the PE, Washington boosted. They're the big winners now that it's fairly clear the GOP won't be throwing tens of millions of people off the insurance rolls. Oh, and don't sweat the program, by the way. After looking at Microsoft and Visa's reports tonight, I think we're on solid footing for a tech and fintech rotation tomorrow. Just got to show some patience. Here's the bottom line. You can take your time and wait until this rotation runs its course, but you need to understand that the guilty until proven innocent taint has been very difficult to shake if your company finds itself in Amazon's sights, which is why it's so difficult to own anything that tries to compete with them. However, if you stay away from retail, there's still plenty to like. And remember, retail's a very small part of the entire stock market. Michael in Tennessee, Michael.
Booyah, Jim.
Booyah, Michael.
I'm a big fan, love the show. I'm calling about CSX. The earnings were good, but it did have a soft guidance on it. Would you buy, hold, or sell?
No, I'm not. You know, I actually would prefer to buy Union Pacific. Union Pacific had a better quarter, and the stock was down $1.70. I think that the CEO was a little too conservative today. So my take is Union Pacific over CSX. Let's go to Tom in Illinois, please. Tom.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call again.
Of course.
How bad do you think FedEx will be affected by this cyber attack on TNN?
I think it's time to wrap that story up and put a bow on it. I think that FedEx is a buy here. But you know what? I've got to tell you, as much as I like FedEx, XPO Logistics closes at 60.50. That's a good one, too. I do like that kind of business. Meanwhile, I'm kicking myself. On my game plan, you know, I told people Microsoft and Visa, buy, and here they go. But do people buy them? I don't know. How about Richie in New York? Richie!
Jim, thanks for having me. Okay. My question about Toronto
Dominion Bank?
Yes.
I like it very much. The Canadian banks were always conservative. Did a lot of good. I think I also like the Canadian dollar, by the way. I think there's two ways to win there. Good call. Let's go to Frank in my home state of New Jersey. Frank!
Booyah, Jim. This is Frank from New Jersey.
Yeah, man, what's up?
I'm 54. My largest individual stock holding is Travelers, reported today. There's a new CEO, and I would love to see him as a guest on your show. Is this a good company for the long term?
I like the new CEO. I've got to tell you, the pattern with Travelers is not unlike Accenture. They report. People don't like it. They see headlines they don't like. Company then comes in, start buying stock. Next thing you know, bingo! Travelers is right back. Hold on to Travelers. It's a darn good company. I'll attempt to get the CEO on. I don't know. He's a good guy, though. All right, for now, stocks are guilty by association. But have no fear. Calmer heads will ultimately prevail. They always do. On Mad Money tonight, Key Corp just posted an earnings beat and raise guidance, but the stock got crushed. What the heck is that all about? Is it prime time to make a deposit, or is today's decline a reason to cash out? Don't miss my exclusive with the CEO, and I bet you we're going to find out the answer. Then, is the only thing that FANG has going for it momentum? Hardly. I'll tell you why the stocks keep going higher. And it connects some of the leading global brands with the Chinese consumer. Don't you want to know what it is? And maybe it's time to make a place for it in your portfolio. I'm sitting down with the CEO. So stick with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on Twitter. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Tweets. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
Whenever earnings season rolls around, we typically hear from the banks in descending order of size. First, we get the big national players, and then come the smaller regionals. Take Key Corp, the parent of Key Bank, which is roughly 1,200 locations across the western and eastern United States. Now, first glance, when Key reported this morning, its results seemed pretty darn strong. I was very excited about it. Company posting a 2-cent earnings beat off a 34-cent basis, much higher than expected revenue, up 52% year over year. Even its all-important net interest margin, or NIM as they call it, the difference between what they pay you for your deposits and what they make off the loans, increased by 54 basis points year over year. That's extraordinary, to 3.30. Now, you'd think the stock would have roared higher on the news and initially did in the forward market trading, but instead it actually went lower, much lower. Or down 3.67%. The reason? Part of it is that management's commentary about the rest of 2017 was a little tepid. They see loans coming in at the low end of their previous forecast. They also seem skeptical about the prospects of more rate hikes for the year. And they also had a kind of a muddy discussion about M&A. The other part is that Key caught a couple of big upgrades last week. So anything less than perfection was going to seem to be a disappointment. It came in hot, so to speak. But could this be a buying opportunity? Let's take a closer look with Beth Mooney, the chairman and CEO of Key Corp. Find out more about the quarter and our company's prospects. Ms. Mooney, welcome back to Mad Money.
Thank you, Jim. Delighted to be back.
All right, Beth, I can't ask for a do-over because that's what happened. But when I read through everything and I came to page 14, average balance sheet, one question, there, one answer there about loans low end. It was the only negative I saw. Is it not possible that you're just being conservative and that you might have loans come in at the higher end if the economy gets a little better?
We certainly did indicate that some piece of the guidance was based that it had been a slower first half of the year. Some piece of it is customer confidence, which you're hearing across the board as others report. And some piece of it is, as you know, in our business model, we have such strong capital markets capabilities in our corporate bank. So the back end of the year, I do think there is some potential for C&I growth that will obviously get us to that guidance. And if there is more economic stimulus or confidence, Key is always well positioned to take advantage of commercial loan growth trends.
All right, terrific. Now, again, on the conference call, there was this kind of convoluted discussion where some of the analysts, I think, were trying to get you to say, aren't you going to start doing a lot more M&A again now that the First Niagara deal's over? And it seemed that there would be some concern, and when I read through the conference call, that maybe you're trying to do deals, more deals, which hurt the stock. I mean, I heard what you were saying differently from what the analysts were doing. I thought you just said steady as she goes. You did this good deal, and you're going to keep focusing on it.
I think you heard us right, because what we intended to say is our work is not yet done on First Niagara, and indeed we believe it has been a good value for our shareholders based on the financial returns, 13% return on tangible common equity. We announced today that we hit the $400 million cost-saving targets, but that our strategy is very much about executing that, which includes our core momentum, as well as fully realizing the value on First Niagara. And it did cause a little bit of a convoluted conversation, but at the end of the day, I think we are clear. We have everything we need to be successful and compete, and we do believe First Niagara created good value for our shareholders and was a good use of capital.
All right, Terry, I'm glad we cleared that up, because I didn't like the way the narrative went there, and it was certainly not your fault. I want to do a little question about expenses. Historically, you have developed a record for controlling standalone costs, probably the best of the bankers I follow. Past 12 to 18 months, obviously, you focused on Niagara, where the expense control has been fabulous and the savings are good. Now the deal's closed. I mean, I think you're going to go back and also start focusing on greater efficiencies within Legacy Key again.
It is interesting that one of the things we highlighted today was obviously with a 59% efficiency ratio, a significant improvement based on two things. One, realizing the $400 million in cost savings from First Niagara. And as we announced last quarter, we're not done. We think we have another $50 million that we can realize, which will be some 45% of the First Niagara cost base. We, too, also have initiatives at Key that we put on hold to make sure our teams were focusing on really delivering, which was just a year ago, the approval to close and deliver on First Niagara. So, yes, we have a culture of continuous improvement. We see a range of other opportunities, both in technology and good old-fashioned continuous cost improvement. So I think we have room for us to even improve from the 59% that we reported in efficiency ratio this quarter.
All right, that's excellent. I know in your areas, particularly in the new areas that you're in, you're somewhat under-penetrated on mortgages, and yet housing stock is pretty good there and plenty of people, really good employment. I would think that you could turn on the jets for mortgages right now that you've kind of integrated everything.
You know, that is one of the real value adds with First Niagara is we got a full service origination through servicing mortgage company, which was a capability Key did not have. So it's not only in new markets, it's our ability to turn it on our footprint. So we do see that as an area of growth in the coming years. And while we're early days in the revenue synergies, that is probably one of our biggest opportunities.
Okay, a net interest margin, obviously the best in show so far since of all the banks that have reported. Can you explain to people in English, because we have a lot of retail investors, you know that, why you were able to get such a good number so much better than every other bank I follow?
Well, there is some piece of it that is related to our acquisition of First Niagara. There is some purchase accounting that runs through the margin. But at the end of the day, our core margin was up nicely. We benefited from the rising interest rates, with earning asset yields going up much more than our deposit costs, and we are very pleased to see the core margin expansion.
All right, how about the industrial in your area and commercial in your area? What are some standout businesses, and what do you see for the future?
You know, we saw strong growth, particularly in our commercial middle market, which spans our geography across the eastern and western markets. We are seeing really strong commercial middle market growth in our geographies. We had 4% linked quarter growth in that particular portfolio, which is 16% annualized. So across the board, again, we see strength in our company, strong balance sheet. And I do believe if there is some more clarity and some fiscal stimulus added to this economy, that there's almost a coiled spring effect that has not yet come through in expenditures for capital expenditures or other kind of business investments. And on the large end, we see corporate customers having a preference to go into the capital markets because they're so attractive right now, and we are poised to benefit on either side.
At the same time, because of how well you have done capital, you've been, in terms of regulation, be able to now starting to return capital more aggressively and also be able to buy back a lot of stock.
Yes, we got this year's CCAR. We got the opportunity for a 26% dividend increase in two steps over the coming year. and then an $800 million share repurchase, which we think, again, we're not done creating value. As a matter of fact, we just got an upgrade in today that said at this current price, key is a value, and I would agree. And so the ability to continue to buy back stock and return that capital to our shareholders, we believe, is a good use of our capital.
Well, I totally agree myself. My Chapel Trust has a gigantic position in key, and I thought that the reaction today, the down 3.67, didn't make sense at all, but as a chance to get new people in the stock. Beth Mooney, Chairman and CEO of Key Corp, great to see you.
Thanks, Jim, and appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
Of course. A lot of people just don't really understand how stocks work. This stock had run up because a lot of people had been, analysts had been recommending it. It came off way too hard today. I think this is an opportunity. We're telling club members, you're not going to get an opportunity like this to buy this company again. They have money's back after the break. Sometimes you got to wonder how the stocks of Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Alphabet just keep going higher in the face of no real news. Is the recent rally just the greater fool theory writ large, where you buy them today, confident that someone will pay even more for them tomorrow, simply because they've got momentum? In this particular case, I think the answer is an emphatic no. The truth is that these companies are constantly innovating, always giving you new earnings additive reasons to buy their stocks.
Buy.
There's something real here. Consider today. We just learned this morning that Facebook's working with news organizations to figure out a way to get their wares out and become more friendly with these outlets. That's been a huge issue, and the fact that the company's addressing it shows you exactly how customer-friendly they really are. They've left a lot of money on the table until now. Plus, we know Facebook's recently started figuring out ways to put video on some of their functions that will take away the worry that there's too much ad load. Hey, that was a worrisome concern they brought up themselves on the last conference call. Maybe it's been ameliorated. And we just got a reiteration this morning from an analyst that says Instagram is crushing Snap with its new copycat offerings. These are all new earnings per share boosters that give you more reason to buy the darn stock. Amazon, what can I say? We wake up and find out that they're now in the appliance game. Sears, its pathetic partner, doesn't have that much left. But it does have one of the best brand names in appliances. They haven't savaged that. Kenmore's still good. You put Kenmore together with Amazon, you throw in Alexa so you can scream at your washing machine all you want to turn on, and voila, you're off to the races. Impactful? Eh, maybe not near term. But a new vertical's born. Many people are still going, trying to digest what Netflix did in that amazing quarter that's caused the gigantic explosion to the upside in stock, especially the surge of international subs. Now, I follow a columnist named Buster Cohen, C-O-E-N, at TheStreet.com, who knows more about the movies than anyone I've ever met. He took the ball from the conference call, the ball named Okja, O-K-J-A, which is this Korean movie the company used to describe how they took that country by storm. And if you go read Buster's piece, and I urge you to do so, you'll know why Netflix can go much, much higher. First, this Korean movie is compelling, a compelling story that could never be made in Hollywood. They never let it happen. Okja's a giant super pig who's been genetically engineered to taste delicious by a company is clearly meant to be a stand-in for big agribusiness, and everybody hates them. The pig's caretaker, a young Korean girl, spends most of the movie trying to save her. I know it sounds like a children's movie, but it's incredibly dark. If you want to turn yourself into a vegetarian, watch Okja. The movie's got big stars. Tilda Swinton, one of my faves. She's a Gonzo CEO. Jake Gyllenhaal, how big is that? He plays a TV personality, along with a flawless computer-generated pig. And it's made by the most popular director in South Korea, Bong Joon-ho. It made a huge splash at the Cannes Film Festival as the French tried to interfere with it as they're notoriously anti-streaming, and it was boycotted by three major cinema chains in South Korea. Talk about buzz that must have generated. I mean, doesn't it just make you want to sign up for Netflix if you're in South Korea? Yes! Okja was Netflix's final release of the second quarter, and I think it's the film that put international signups over the top of domestics, making international bigger than domestic, which is what's driving the stock. Right story, right publicity, fabulous knowledge of South Korean culture, all things that the conventional studios reject or just don't even know how to do. Sure, Netflix drifted lower today, but I bet it's still got more room to run. How about Alphabet? Just today, Google came out with a function that lets you see news that is tailored to your interest personally. I've always disliked the news feed that comes from Google, the one where you go into Google News, type it in, enter a topic, and then it sends you to some extraneous news entity. It's really not on point or very far afield. But Google's now been able to algorithmically mine what you've asked them for in the past, so they can send you a personal feed that really does match what you're really interested in. How fabulous is that? I've wanted this for ages. Today they produced it. The stock should have rallied on the news, even as it ended up sinking a tiny bit today. Now, I'm not saying these stocks can't go down. Alphabet and Netflix both declined. I'm saying that they just keep making news, generating actual events and products that are indeed additive to earnings, raising numbers fang. As long as that continues to happen, these stocks can continue to go higher. And you shouldn't feel foolish for pulling the trigger, because they seem to introduce needle movers every single day of the week. How about let's go to Nick in my home state of New Jersey. Nick!
Hey, Jim, thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you.
So my question is about PayPal. The stock's up about 50% this year. Is it time to sell, or is there more room on the upside?
We don't care where stocks come from. We care where it's going to. And I saw Visa report a great number today. I actually expect I expect nothing less than that from MasterCard, and that's going to raise the valuation of all these. Dan Shulman's doing a remarkable job. PayPal, there's been people shooting against him the whole way. They've been wrong. PayPal's been right. Shulman's been right. Stay long. Rob in Rhode Island. Rob.
Jim, hi. This is Rob from Rhode Island. Booyah.
Booyah.
What's your take on Under Armour?
I think Under Armour bottomed. I think Under Armour's making a turn. I think it's a slow turn, not a fast turn. I do prefer Nike over Under Armour, but I am not going to sell Under Armour 20. Kevin Plank is going to get back on his game. He doesn't know how not to. Hey, Kevin, you ought to come on the show and talk. Let's go to Art in California. Art.
Yes, Mr. Kramer, I'd like your advice on CVS Health. That's been going downhill for the last
six months.
All right,
well, I got to tell you, my travel trust, we booted Walgreens today. Why? Because we think that we're going to wake up and we're going to see that Amazon's decided to do drugs. They're going to do prescription drugs, and that's going to be the end. CVS will be down 10%, and Walgreens will be down 10%. That's just what happens. I'm done. I'm done with waking up and seeing Amazon hurt my travel trust. That's it, okay? I know they can't do all these things. And I know that one day we'll say, you know what, this is a bridge too far. But right now, Amazon, I'm as concerned about them as everybody else. All right, hey, listen up. I'm saying it loud and clear. Fang! Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and please call it Google again, Alphabet. You can still go higher. These companies offer innovation on a daily and basis, and they're actually additive to earnings. Much more Mad Money ahead. Wondering how to connect with China's 1.3 billion consumers? Don't miss my exclusive with an Alibaba-backed e-commerce play up over 40% over the last month alone, and I still think it might be a buy. Then, do your stocks have what it takes to survive in the unknowns in the market? I'll be the judge of when we play MI Diversify, which is frankly a little bit anti-FANG tonight. And all your calls, rapid fire, tonight's edition of the Lightning Round. So stick with Kramer.
We can name 1.3 billion reasons why China is a big deal. Baozun helps some of the world's biggest brands navigate e-commerce in the People's Republic. Does it have a place in your portfolio?
You know what's growing even faster than e-commerce here in the U.S.? E-commerce in China. More and more consumers in the People's Republic are turning to online marketplaces like Alibaba for their shopping needs. And that means if you want to do business in China, you really need a digital presence. Which brings me to Baozun, which actually trades here. The ticker symbol is BZUN. It's one of the leading Chinese providers of e-commerce solutions that helps companies do everything from designing a website to implementing information technology infrastructure, all the way to managing inventory and analyzing consumer data. These guys have some huge customers. I'm talking about Microsoft, Panasonic, J&J, Philips, Levi Strauss, Tommy Hilfiger, Haagen-Dazs, just to name a few. If you want to do business on the web in China, I think you got to go to Baozun. That's how this company's growing its revenue at a phenomenal clip, and it's why they're profitable. Tyler in New Jersey asked about Baozun on July 7th, and Baozun saw the call on the show. And this is the second CEO, by the way, this week who's appeared, thanks to our fabulous callers. So let's take a closer look with Vincent Chu. He's the chairman and CEO of Baozun. to get a better sense of how his company's doing and where it's headed. Mr. Chu, welcome to Mad Money. Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, Jim.
Thank you. Have a seat.
Thank you.
All right. Let me ask you something, Vincent. I'm going to call you Vincent. I have always marveled that some companies do incredibly well in China. For instance, Nike. And then I see that as a customer of you. So what would you do for a Nike?
Yeah, it's a good question, Jim. Actually, we just here to bring all the brands to be successful in Chinese e-commerce market. So in this case, for example, Nike, we set up the official web stores, their websites.
Website, okay.
We just build up their stores on Tmall, right, which is an Alibaba platform.
Okay.
And we run all this business for them. Yeah, so it's happy to see that from very small numbers of sales to today's billions of sales of Nike in this e-commerce. That's the way we help the brands.
And how do you get paid by Nike?
Generally, it is quite a service fee, okay, plus a commission, this kind of mechanism for most of the brands. Yeah.
Now, it's funny. I was talking to my staff, and I said, now, wait a second. They have Haagen-Dazs. People can't ship. You don't order Haagen-Dazs online. It's ice cream. But then they told me that there's an advertising component of Alibaba that we don't have on Amazon, and that that's a great opportunity for somebody like Haagen-Dazs, but they need you to do that, too.
Yes, Haagen-Dazs is a very special case. Actually, we sell two kinds of products through online. First thing is the coupons, and then the real ice cream.
Coupons, yeah. Coupons.
Yeah, so coupons is a good way to do the marketing plus sales. You can redeem all the coupons on offline stores.
So that's how they do it. Okay, now one of the guys, I know you watch the show, so we have Manny Chirico on all the time, and he is the CEO of PVH. Uh-huh. And he has been telling me that Tommy Hilfiger has been turning on the jets in China. Again, I must think that means he has to consult with yours, people consult with you, yeah, to figure out how to position the brand of Tommy Hilfiger.
Yeah. As you said, it's a very good thing for you to mention Tommy Hilfiger because it's one of the most latest brand we are working with.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just, last month, this month, we just opened their store on Tmall. Okay. And we are out there, trying to make the business better. So Tommy is, it's a new brand, and we hope that in the coming years we can bring them very, very, high.
I'm counting on it. The stock of PVH has been doing well, and I've been saying, and part of that is because of the diversification out of the U.S. into China.
Yeah.
Now, when Jack Ma comes here and talks about helping small, medium-sized businesses to do business in China, I would imagine that, again, they just can't go over and put a website up. They need the help of a company like you.
Yes, we are in the middle of a brand and a platform like, right, Alibaba and Tmall. So we have a very big space to deliver a bunch of services to make that possible. So, for example, it's not only the big brands like Nike, mm-hmm, and also smaller brands today, but can be bigger, in the future.
Right.
We also have this kind of boutique and the smaller, medium-sized brands to, conduct their e-commerce business in China as well.
Okay, it also sounds like that when I read through your excellent training, you have tremendous transparency, which I absolutely love. Yeah. Warehouse and fulfillment. So that's something else I wouldn't have to worry about because of Baozun.
Yeah. Actually, today we are a one-stop solution, yeah, provider in China, or we can call this a full-service provisioning. So from the very front end, we call this digital marketing, but it's, mm-hmm, actually doing advertisements, promotions for the brands. And then the sales, we generate the orders on the website. And the last part is the fulfillment side. You need to ship all this to your end consumers. So that's the three aspects we are doing.
But you can also help me with search engine optimization so that my ads will be seen?
Yes, definitely. That is part of our digital marketing services. Jeez. Yeah. So from the very, very front end to the very back end.
Okay. So I noticed at the beginning of the transcript, you used the term same store sales as a metric, yeah, to be able to gauge. I always try to tell people at home, try to figure out the metrics so we know apples to apples. Why is that a good measure, same store sales?
Jim, actually our growth is a composition of different aspects.
Yeah.
One is that the same brand growth means that compared to the last year, how big is the growth of this same brand,
right,
today? And the other dimension is that we are attracting more and more new brands on board. So that is also add to the growth of Baozun. So that's why, as a primary metrics, the same store growth is so important.
Well, I have to tell you, man, I did all the work on this stock. And I was surprised at how the market capitalization is still very small versus the opportunity. And that's why our caller, I think, seems very right. I'm always a little reticent to recommend Chinese stocks because I have to know what I'm doing. And sometimes I say, look, it's on you. But I would tell people, do the homework. But this sounds like a very exciting story. And I'm recommending Alibaba. It's the only Chinese stock I'm recommending. So I think that this is a very good companion to Alibaba.
Yeah, thank you so much. I hope that in the future we can be the second you recommend.
I hope so. And I hope you come back on the show. That's Vincent Chu, the chairman and CEO of Balzon. And again, thank you to our caller, bringing companies to my attention that I otherwise do not know. Mad Money's back after the break. It is time. Some of the lighter round questions. Round round questions. And then the light round's over. Are you ready, Ski Daddy? Time for the lighter round question. I'm going to start with George in Florida. George.
Well, Jim, thank you for taking my call tonight.
Oh, it is my pleasure, sir. How can I help?
Well, Jim, if I can first, I'd like to say hello to a very dear friend of mine, Donald Repose. He's located up in Woodstock, Connecticut.
Okay.
And Don introduced me to the stock market many years ago, and I feel blessed.
All right, there you go. There we did that.
What's
up?
Thank you, Jim.
Okay.
Now, the purpose of my call, I really would like your input on Energizer.
You know, it's just okay. I prefer actually to own Procter & Gamble, where you've got a fabulous engaged investor, Nelson Peltz. So there you got a pretty good management team. Procter is the way to go. I like that yield, too. Let's go to Billy in Virginia. Billy.
Hey, Jim. How's it going?
It's all right. How about you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me. So, BlackBerry, do you think the current share price is reflective of a lack of knowledge or confusion about the company's current direction?
It's got intellectual property, it's got cash, but it doesn't have momentum. I think it's probably correctly priced is the way I would look at that. Let's go to Taylor in California. Taylor.
Jim, how you doing? Great show.
Question Thank you, is, Taylor.
Should investors be shorting Cheesecake Factory with their recent consistent losses in their quarterly reports and their transition in retail dining away from 5,000 to 7,000 square foot sit-down restaurants?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's 17 times earnings. Second, it's actually profitable. Let's not make it sound like it's not. It was not a great quarter. I do prefer Darden, but I'm not going to short a company that's actually done a pretty good job over the years. Let's go to John in Nebraska. John!
Jim, thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
My stock is ENSTO, ESV.
No, I mean, we got enough problems on onshore. Who wants offshore drilling? It's the wrong call. Michael in California. Michael.
Booyah, Jim.
Booyah.
Thanks for your show and podcast. I got a stock that sells 61% since I bought them, 228% this year. It seems like it's still climbing. Jim, that stock is Weight Watchers. Should I buy one?
You know, I got to do a piece on this thing. This thing is nonstop up, and I feel like I completely missed it. So I cannot opine on it. I don't deserve the right to be able to opine on it because I missed it that bad. Let's go to Josh in New York. Josh.
Hey, Jim. Big booyah from Long Island, New York.
Oh, good to have you. I'm trying to get to see you this weekend. What's going on?
Looking forward to it. My question pertains to Schneider National. You had them on the show about a month ago, and I was wondering if I should sell or hold.
I liked them. I thought it was fine. I got to tell you, Union Pacific on this decline is more impressive to me, but I think you're fine with that. Let's go to Steve in California. Steve.
Hey, booyah from Redondo Beach.
Oh, yeah, man, Redondo, we get a lot of calls from that. I like Hermosa Beach, too, just for the record. What's up?
Well, we're right on the border, actually,
yeah,
and I think it's me who's always calling you from Redondo Beach. But here's what I want to ask you. I got a good problem in my Roth IRA. I got five stocks, and Adobe is one of them.
Oh, you
and
got that's a high-quality problem. Shantanu Narayan is out there working for you every minute. He's working for my charitable trust. Sometimes I think, why can't we own all of them, Adobe and Microsoft and the Fang? But you can't. You got to be diversified. I'm taking one more call. I'm going to John in Pennsylvania. John!
Hey, Jim. Big fan of 2005 season one. Learned
okay.
a lot.
Wow.
One point you've always made is the trend is your friend.
Yes.
Cohen and Company recently put a $40 price target on the international shipping container company Triton, TRTN.
Yeah.
Based on the smaller competitor guiding up for the quarter and full year, do you think it goes to 40?
You know what? Look, I listen to Union Pacific and CSX, and Intermodal is very, very strong. So it's certainly got the wind at its back, but its specifics of Triton, I'm not sure. And that, ladies and gentlemen, of the Lightning Round!
The Lightning Round is sponsored by TD Ameritrade.
You may think FANG is indomitable, that the strength of these stocks is unwavering. You might be right. But while Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Alphabet, formerly Google, each appear to be on an unstoppable path to world domination, I would never advise you to put all of your money in one space, as these all now trade together. They're joined at the hip. I know it's tempting, but you need to build a defense in the event that, heaven forbid, these stocks no longer perform the way they do now, or one brings them all down. In other words, you should put together a well-diversified portfolio investing in stocks from many different sectors. It's something we teach here on the show. It's why we play Am I Diversified? This is where you give me a call, tweet me, of course. Tell me your top five holdings. I'll let you know if your portfolio is diversified. Now, maybe you need to go back to the drawing board, even as, boy, they are so tempting, aren't they? So let's start with a tweet from @RedHawk8856. That's a tough tweet, guys. But anyway, who tweeted? At Jim Cramer, of course. Abbott Wynn, which Wyndham, HIG, which is the insurance company, Hartford, Coca-Cola, American Tower, am I diversified? So let's take a look at these. Okay, so what do we have? American Tower is just red hot. You know, I've liked that forever. Remember they did the big raid on that stock at 90, how wrong they were? That is the company that makes it so you can get good cell phone service everywhere. Wyndham, well, that, you know, that's Steve Holmes. We've been recommending that stock since it was at 40. The Hartford, okay, it's a property casualty insurer, just okay. Coca-Cola, we've got a new man at the helm there. And Abbott Labs is a huge position for ActionAlertsPlus.com, and the club members love how that quarter came out. We got a drug company, we got a beverage company, we got an insurance company, we got a cell phone company, and we've got a company that is in travel and leisure. That is what I'm talking about.
That was easy.
Perfect. Let's go to Jessica in Georgia. Jessica.
Jim, Jessica Parrott here. Booyah.
Well, I like that. What's going on?
I'm a huge fan. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
So I'm a realtor here in Georgia, Atlanta Fine Homes, Sotheby's International Realty. So tell Lisa if she has any clients.
Absolutely.
Looking in Georgia, I'd be honored to co-op.
All right, thank you.
So that's portfolio growth, on the other hand, it's okay. Slowed down a little bit, a little stagnant this past year,
okay.
And I'm
okay.
Just wondering if diversify enough, you know, not only to stay in the green in 2018, but to also see another push in the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay. And what would this be?
Okay, so my five biggest positions, I've got Apple, AAPPL, I'm sorry, Allergan. By the way, those are my two longest heavy positions.
Right.
And then Cisco, Dell Technologies, DVMT, mm-hmm. and ExxonMobil.
Okay. Well, thank you for those kind words. I'll tell Lisa, certainly. If she ever watched the show, it'd be dynamite. What can you do? Not everybody watches. The dogs watch. NVIDIA watches. He's a point away from his all-time high. Okay, so Allergan, big position for Action Alerts for club members. It's a great drug company. Almost broke out today. Has to close above 250, according to Bruce Kamich, the technician I use. Apple, own it, not trade it. Cisco, position for Action Alerts. Last two quarters I've not been happy about. I'm just going to put it right out there, okay? But you get a good yield. ExxonMobil, good yield, trying to bottom. We did an off-the-chart segment the other day. And, well, this is a convoluted situation. This is a Dell V. It's a kind of a stub, but it's you got tech and tech. So we're going to get tech. So we can't abide by that. We're going to keep Apple. We're going to get rid of Cisco. Instead of Cisco, what we'll put in, because we have a healthcare company already, we're not going to add to more healthcare. Why don't we put in Honeywell, which I'm confident is going to report a good number tomorrow. But if it comes down, we're going to buy it because Darius Damchek I like. And we're going to have to get rid of Dell. And what we'll do is we'll put in can't do retail anymore because of Amazon, right? So why don't we go with a bank? I would like to go with KeyBank. We'll go Apple. We'll go Key. I feel a lot better about that. Honeywell, the oil and gas, we'll keep Exxon. Nice diversification. And Allergan, we'll keep too. I think Brent Saunders will deliver a good quarter. But more importantly, that drug group is on the march. And thank you for the kind words. Don in California. Don.
Jimmy Bell, how are you?
How are you?
Great, brother. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
So I got Apple, Skyworks, Gilead, Twitter, Twilio, and a little AMD.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're just going to get this. All right, let's get that. Let's get that up there. Okay, Gilead started to inch up, as I said at the beginning of the show. Biotech has caught a bid. Gilead up 5 straight points for actually no particular reason. That's okay. It's a value stock. Twilio, I still like when the CEO bought all that stock lower, but you know what? We have to wait to see for a quarter. We do not have a quarter. We have to see how it's doing. Twitter has snuck up here out of nowhere above 20 on no conversation, nothing. Skyworks reported after the bell. I thought the number looked good. People didn't like the gross margins. And Apple. Okay, so we're going to keep Apple. We can't have all this tech. This is, again, way too much tech. This is the kind of thing that worries me. So we'll take Skyworks out as much. Look, I think you're doing a great job, Skyworks, but we need KeyBank in there. We'll take Twilio out. We'll also use Honeywell. We're sticking with the theme here, if you've noticed. Key big position for Action Alerts. I'm going to let you keep Twitter. We got to find out what the heck is going on. I know they're not coming on the show, but north of 20, I cannot tell you to sell it. I like the action in it. And then, of course, we've got the healthcare Gilead. And then we'll be fine. Too much tech. I know. We're going to debate this every day for Action Alerts. Every day. If we had nothing but tech and didn't have some of these other stocks, wow, we'd be killing it. But that's not the way we play it. Michael in Maryland. Michael.
Hey, Jim. My 5 stocks are Bank of America, Johnson & Johnson, Verizon, Carnival Cruise Lines, and Viacom. Via B.
Interesting. Interesting. We don't see a lot of Viacom, the entertainment company. So we'll go right there to start. Entertainment company, it's really challenged by all the cable, cord cable, but we're okay. You know, the cut. Carnival, wow, what a quarter. Royal Caribbean was upgraded today. Carnival, I think these are 6 or 6.5 dozen, but I love Carnival. Verizon, yeah, nice yield started to be on the move today. I thought it was an interesting defensive play. Johnson & Johnson, one of the great quarters. And wow, and Dom Cruise, the CFO, was talking about the future being even better. Bank of America, Brian Moynihan delivered a great quarter. Hey, we got a bank, okay? We got a drug company. We got a telco. We have a travel and leisure, and we have an entertainment, and that is fine for me.
That was easy.
Wow. We had to do a lot of work. Guys, I know. I mean, with Microsoft flying and FANG, you want to have just tech. So do I. I want my travel shows to have nothing but tech. But then one day, you come in, and you are eviscerated. Stick with Kramer. Earlier this week, I did a piece about what's going to happen later in the week, and the two stocks I said you have to buy if they come down at all would be Visa and Microsoft. They just reported outstanding quarters. Microsoft's cloud business, Azure, is doing so well. Stay long, both of these. I like to say there's always a bull market somewhere. I promise to try to find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer, and I will see you tomorrow.